What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Kinda Funny Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 Under 30, a.k.a. the second best baby blues in San Francisco, a.k.a. the verified one, at Tim Geddes.
It is a pleasure to be here with you today, Greg, and this motley crew. This crew that has not been together on this show since July 7th, 2022. Greg Miller going on vacation. Nick Scarpino going on vacation. We've all been, I got COVID, so there's been a whole bunch of just like mishaps around the way.
This was decidedly less fun. You had a decidedly less fun.
Not fun at all.
That was Tim's vacation. Yeah.
But with all of that, that episode was with Raul Coley. Killer episode. Everyone should go check it out.
Sure.
But that was the last time that we were lucky enough to all be able to do this show together. So I'm very excited to do this one with you today.
I'm excited to be here, too, with you, Tim. I'm also excited to be alongside the Hispanic heartthrob Texas treat, Latino Heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds, the globetrotting, headshotting, rooting, tooting, nitro rifle from twitch.tv, Andy Cortez.
Hello, everybody.
Are you wearing a funny little Elden Ring shirt that looks like a metal shirt? Is that the same people who did my Dry Bones one? Remember my Dry Bones?
Dracula.
Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah, he made my Dry Bones one.
Yeah.
You ever seen me in the Dry Bones one?
No, but there's one I really want to buy, and I don't know what.
Say it one more fucking time.
I want to buy it. There's another one they have on sale that's Metroid, but I don't know what. I think it's maybe the font that they're emulating is Def Leppard's logo, like very angular kind of logo.
Oh yeah,
but
I love that logo.
It says Metroid in that sort of same finish. It looks so sick. It looks really cool.
And then returning to the podcast. He, of course, is the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino. Hello, Nick.
Hello, Greg. I'm glad to be back. Andy, that made me think of, there's a Netflix movie called Lords of Metal. Have you guys watched that at all? I think I heard it all. It's super cute. It's one,
swing
one
and
of the
miss
guys.
On your return. Swing and miss on your return.
No, you guys should watch this. I just recommend it. It's the kid, one of the kids from It who played, I think
Finn Wolfhard.
No, it wasn't that kid. It was one of the other ones. Anyway, it's about, they start a metal band in high school to get cool. It's fun. It's a fun movie.
Nick, you've been gone a long time.
I have, yeah.
And of course, two things stood out to me when I saw you again. Number one, you're very tan. You got that. You got your Italian olive complexion shining. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you got some sun. D made you get it. But two, you're doing something different with your hair. What is going on with your hair? Explain your hair to me.
Oh, it just grew out a little bit over the. I had it cut, and instead of kind of going mullety with it, I just kind of had it normal.
You look
cut.
Normal again.
It's still a little long in the back, if you look.
Yeah. But you're back to like a normal human being, like a respectable person.
Yeah, it just kind of grew out. And then I was like, I really don't want to put anything in it. And so I just kind of went like this, Andy. And now this is the new me.
For a full pause there. Andy, can you explain to the audio listeners what Nick did?
For audio listeners, he licked his fingers and then kind of patted his head, similar to how maybe a mother would do while you were heading into church and your hair was kind of disheveled.
School photos.
Like, where I learned
Nicole,
it.
Put your shit. Yeah, she kind of maybe, or like sometimes, you know, when you have like a, you got chocolate on your lip or something, your mom was like, get that shit. She'd like try to like take the stain off. Audio listeners, can you?
No, I'm sorry, Tim, real quick. Can you explain what Andy's doing?
Oh God, I don't know if I could do it without being a dirty, dirty boy.
Yeah, what are you
doing with that thumb cycling around? Ew, in a way that's suggestive. Oh my God, Eddie. Wow. No. Any audio listeners, you cannot go watch this. That went too far.
Nick, where did you go?
I went to Portugal. Me and Dee celebrated our 10-year wedding anniversary in Portugal, which is crazy. I know. I know.
10 years.
I know. 10 wonderful years. We went all up and down Portugal. Went to about 6 different places. Stayed in 4 of them. Visited. Just drove over to a couple other places, spots. And it's beautiful. It's a great country. The food is incredible. I don't really drink a lot of wine. I'm not a wine guy, but we got really into port for a couple of days. Port wine there for a little bit.
I love you.
Got a little fucked up on that.
Is port the sweet one? Is that the sweet one?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I love when Nick goes somewhere and comes back and all of a sudden he has a new thing. Where it's culture, like the cocktails, you know, and then now it's like, cool, this port wine's gonna be a thing. Because for a while it was the Margs, and like that got the people going.
Margs are still a thing. Margs are still a thing, yeah. But really I'm still into nicer like craft cocktails. I still love that. It's to the point now where I go a place and they don't have good cocktails, I just don't order them at all. I won't do it. But
that's smart. That's the smart way to do it. I've seen you try to power through before. Don't do that.
No. Like we were at a really nice hotel in what's called the Douro Valley, which is like the Napa Valley of Portugal. But like crazy big and beautiful. And they had really good cocktails that were weird as shit. One of them was like carrot juice. It was like carrot juice and gin and a couple other things and like honey. And I was like, this is going to be weird. I had so many of them. I just, you've never seen a hangover until you got fucked up on carrot juice.
Well, there's so much sugar in carrots, right? Yeah, that's the deal. You got good. The 1-2 punch. You get good. The alcohol and the sugar. When me,
wait, what does the sugar do? What do you?
Let me just make it worse. It depletes you.
Yeah, I think it's. It makes the dehydration way worse. I don't know. Google it, Andy, while I tell this story. But it's the same thing when me and when I was a young kid and Chris Ostertag was a young kid. We went to Vegas for some UFC event, and this is back when THQ would send you there for like 18 days to do one thing, we were there, so we had. It was me, Chris, and a bunch of other folks, and we went out. And Chris was dead. It was my first time in Vegas, and Ostertag was like dead set that we have to go to Paris at the Eiffel Tower and get an Eiffel Tower filled with pina colada. And so we drank and partied before then, and then went there and did that. And then I carried this motherfucking thing around like Jesus of Nazareth with the cross, similar to Nick, at the wrestling event. Until finally, in a restroom, I knocked it over. I was just like, I'm done with this. Just fucking knocked it on the ground, so I didn't have to drink anymore. But I woke up the next day with the worst hangover of my entire life, number one hangover on the charts, and I was in bed all day long until the UFC event.
Well, that was that's a motherfucker.
Is the Paris pina colada? Is that like when you go to England, you have to go to, you have to get the spicy, what's that chicken that we're talking about? What's the spicy
Nando's,
chicken?
Cheeky Nando's.
Yeah, is it like when you go to England, you go to Nando's, when you go to Paris, you get the pina colada thing from Vegas or whatever?
Well, did you mention what cup it comes in?
It was a giant Eiffel Tower. A plastic Eiffel Tower that you walk around drinking.
You have a massive, annoying looking Eiffel Tower. And basically, anyone that
looks so cumbersome
from about a half a mile away knows you're drunk. Which, by the way, I'm sorry. I don't mean to derail this. I know we're fucking going to talk about this tomorrow. Let's skip ahead. Great vacation. Love my wife. Super cool.
Hold on. I want to
talk about port wine.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like that's something else for you. Hold on. Yeah, Barrett, I'm going to send you these photos of me with the Eiffel Tower and SpongeBob because I know that'll appeal to you, Barrett.
Oh, yeah. That makes
SpongeBob. When you say port wine, is it the port from Portugal or is it like a shipping port?
Why
do they call it port wine? What is that?
There are parts of Porto. There's a city called Porto, which I believe means port, like actual seaport. Like a lot of Portugal, because it's on the coast, was a massive place for that. But they developed. I think port comes from Portugal. I believe that's where they developed it, and it's a very sweet wine, and it's very fucking good. And man, you can get hammered on it real quick because it is very alcoholic. I think one of the most special days that we had was
Andy. That's it right there. That's it right there. If you see me, that's me with it.
Jesus Christ!
It's from February 6th, 2010.
Why is it skin colored? That's
what
I want.
This is before the iPhone was really good, so that's just like what it's doing. Show the SpongeBob photo? Yeah, there's me with SpongeBob.
Man,
you were 14 years old when you started.
Was he excited?
14.
Oh, he was stoked. You know what I mean? This is right on the. This is, he knew I was going to be a big deal. This is probably 3 or 4 years before anything big happened in my life. You know what I mean?
It's crazy how time works because Nick said that he looks like a 14-year-old there, and he does. Like, you look so young there, especially compared to how I know you now. But like when I first met you, when I started at IGN, I was young enough that I still had that feeling of like, when you're a little kid and then like your cousins get married or something and they feel like freaking like adults, and then you grow up and you're like, oh, they're only a couple years older than me, it's not that different. I had that moment even at IGN where I was like, oh, Chris Ostertag, Nick and them, they're so much older than me, it's a completely different stratosphere. And now it's like, and Greg as well, and now it's like, not at all, that we're all just peers, and it's like weird to see that picture. You look younger than I've ever even imagined you being of me knowing you, but I knew you then. And that was like, I looked at that man thinking you were an adult. Like, that just, it's a little frame of reference. I'm like, how fucked up, like, your own sense of understanding of the world can be.
Jesus, these are the photos they show in the fucking obituary. Like, that man was found in the fucking hotel room, hungover, dead.
Jesus, too many Eiffel Towers.
Real quick, I think you need to learn what an obituary is. That's not how they read. That's a news article about man being dead.
No, there's always like a photo. There's always like a remember. Or maybe I'm thinking like the video they show at the funeral home.
That's fine. Sure. With the slow pans and stuff and the slow zooms and the dissolves and stuff. Yeah.
Port wine.
Port wine. Very, very good. Well, we'll try some, Andy. They sell it all over the place, but it was really good. Again, I'm not a huge drinker, but yeah, we did it. We went to the sort of wine country area, and then we drove down from that to Porto, which is a smaller city. Then from that, we went to Comporta, which is a gorgeous, gorgeous little beach town.
How many ports they got there, man?
It's a lot. It's a lot.
Where are the goals at?
And then we went to Lisbon, which is their biggest city. And it's funny because they had told us right as we were driving there and talked about it. They're like, oh, you're going to Lisbon? That's great. If you're from San Francisco, it's a sister city, sort of. And I was like, oh, that's cute. You know, both on the coast, whatever, both port towns, yada, yada, yada. But little did I know, as we were driving in, we drove over the Golden Gate Bridge. They have a Golden Gate Bridge.
What?
In Lisbon.
That's our thing.
That's our thing. And so I would like to issue, I would like to tell everyone in Portugal, give it back.
Back off. Yeah.
Fucking back off our shit, bro. That's our
idea. It can only be one.
Are we lending that out? Is that a sort of rental?
Yeah, so Andy, if you haven't noticed, if you haven't gone, like, try to get to Marin, like, the bridge is just not there anymore.
Yeah, it's gone.
Jesus. Holy shit. I knew something was weird. I heard something the other day.
What happened, apparently, was the designer of the Golden Gate Bridge was like, yo, we could franchise this shit. And apparently, like, pitched it to the leadership of Portugal, and they were like, cool. And it looks a little different, but if you Google...
Are you serious?
It's called the April 25th Bridge. Google it right now if you can, Barrett, and bring it up. Or the Bridge of... Just Bridge Portugal has been April 25th.
What the fucking hell?
It's wild. We drove over it, and I was like, y'all know we got one of these, right? And I think we were first. And yeah, I think they built that in, like, the 60s. It's pretty crazy.
Blown away. Because I'm looking at a picture similar to what Barrett has up here that is like an iconic angle of the Bay Area Golden Gate Bridge. But like the topography is totally different. This is like, it's not Mandela effect, but there's something happening to me right now where it's like,
dude, it's wrong. We're on day like 9 of this trip, and I'm fully acclimated, and I'm like, oh, I'm just getting lost. I don't know what day it is. And all of a sudden, we drive over this bridge, and I'm like, what? Are we home? Did I skip a whole 2 days of horrible travel?
Well, when you bring up Golden Gate, I'm suddenly thrown off in all of my geography, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess it is next to California. Like, that's kind of where what my brain did. But, I mean, this is kind of where Magneto sent it. Tim,
it's wild.
Decided to transport it at the end of the movie. Yeah,
totally.
It was super fun, but it was beautiful. Weather was great. Everyone's super nice over there. It was a lovely trip, and we ate lots of good snacks, and I gained lots of weight. So super fun. Super fun. Very excited about it. Thoroughly recommend it to anyone who likes wine or just wants to sort of blink your eyes and pretend like you're in California, but everyone speaks Portuguese.
Wow,
which is a badass language, by the way. Also learn they do not like anyone speaking Spanish to them. Apparently there's, you know how we have like the Bay Area LA rivalry that LA doesn't know about? Portugal and Spain are like, they're like two opposed, like, you know, it's like the freeway series.
Speaking Spanish to people in Portugal is like saying San Fran here.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's very crazy.
At Visit Portugal, it has been brought to our attention that you have a Golden Gate Bridge. Mm-hmm. On behalf of San Francisco, at Kind of Funny Vids is sending this cease and desist. Stop using that bridge. It's our bridge. Thank you, San Francisco.
Did you send it? Yeah.
I'm going to put a Golden Gate Bridge GIF on there. No, I have not.
Stop using that bridge, both decks, because there's double decker. It's like the Bay Bridge.
Got it.
Yeah.
Well, not as that hurt our case, though. Do we want to ignore that? Good point. Take that out. Ignore our case.
Yeah. Barrett, please delete this part from the video, too, in case they decide to watch this. And see
what do you mean double decker? What is that? What are you talking about?
The Bay Bridge used to be, one way was in the bottom, one way was in the top. And then, unfortunately, during the earthquake, it collapsed. So after they rebuilt it like this, like our Golden Gate, which is just both lanes on the same side, suspension bridge.
That I guess they're using this as like this is their way to get around copyright.
I would assume. By the way, they don't call it, obviously, the Golden Gate, because our Golden Gate Bridge is not called the Golden Gate Bridge. It's the bridge that goes over the Golden Gate, which is the entrance to our port, but
Golden Port
to our
bridge.
Bay. But it was a fucking trip because it was the same color and everything. I'm like, whoa, this is...
Wow. Yeah, that's wild. That's so
isn't
cool.
That cool. Yeah, little shit you see. Yeah, and then we went to the weirdest thing we did was we went to, I forget the name of the house, but this aristocrat had built a massive mansion in a town called Sintra, which he was part of like the Illuminati. So it had all sorts of crazy ass secret passages and shit. It had a secret well that if you walked by, you wouldn't even know it's there. That looked straight up like out of Harry Potter. And then it has two secret furnaces. And people were like, what were the furnaces for? And he was like,
oh, I don't want to know.
You don't want to know, basically. Yeah. It was wild, dude. It was wild.
Nick.
Yeah.
I forgot. You've been on vacation a while.
Yeah.
And somewhere in that vacation, something happened. Me and you talked on the phone. Do you have the footage prepared for this?
Oh, I don't. So the guy never got back to us. But I will. Can I?
So we have to tell the story now and hope that one day we have footage to back this up.
Okay.
Just to set you up here, right?
You're right. Just to set you up, this is the Kind of Funny podcast. Each and every week, four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to bullshit with each other about whatever it is they want to bullshit about. If you want to bullshit with us, you can head over to patreon.com/kindoffunny. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunny, you can watch us record the show live as we record it, just like Bander Essen is, Madeline Stanley are, and Melissa Hagler is. Of course, if you're watching live, you have a special job. Chat it up and try to be fucking funny, you old drogs. I'll see if you get on this show. Am I right, Andy? Ooh. Of course, if you want to watch later, you get on Patreon, you also get an ad-free. You can write it to be part of the show, be a Patreon producer, et cetera, et cetera. Of course, if you want it for free, no big deal. You get on youtube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe each and every week. If you wanted to go a little bit further, why not buy some video games using the Epic creator code Kinda Funny? If you're buying stuff in the Epic Game Store, use it there. If you're playing Fortnite on your PlayStation, use it there. If you're playing Rumbleverse on your Xbox, use it there. And anywhere else you can do the old move the game to that platform and do the thing over there, you can put it in. There's a creator code. You can have fun. That's what it's all about here, isn't it, Andy? Having fun. Andy, how much fun are you having right now, huh?
I'm scared now.
You notice anything new in your room recently? Anyways, I digress. Time for some housekeeping on the Kind of Funny podcast. Maybe you missed it. Maybe you've been living under a rock. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? After more than 2.5 years, the Kind of Funny studio is happening. That's right. 1 month from today, we are welcoming you to the spare bedroom, the brand new Kind of Funny studio. We will be doing it with an epic marathon stream with all of our friends like Carl, Alfredo, Cisco, and Elise Willems. Will James Willems be there? Yes, but he didn't make the graphic. I apologize, James. Of course, you can come hang out with us 10 a.m. Pacific, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. See the future of Kind of Funny and what the spare bedroom is and why it's taken us so long. Of course, more housekeeping for you. Thank you to our Patreon producers, David Hazenga, Nathan Lamoth, Delaney Twining, Gordon McGuire, Fargo Brady. Today we're brought to you by Shopify and MeUndies. But before we get to any of that, Tim, tell me about the thing we don't have video for, but you're excited to talk about.
So talking real quick about the James and Elise situation, every time I text them or refer to them or anything about them, I get really stressed about how do I talk about them as a unit? Because I don't want to imply importance one way or another.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I'm always trying to think because I know it doesn't matter to most people.
But Willems every
once in a while, it might matter to somebody, right? So the order I put James and Elise, Elise and James. James and Elise sounds better to me because of the and Elise. It just has that nice little flow to it, right? But I'm not trying to like pick favorites or anything. So I made the decision in that logo by choice. Have Elise in the image, but put James's name first. So I just want everyone to know out there, I think about these things. Is anyone else thinking? Does anyone else care? Probably not. But that's what's happening.
I like a kind of glimpse into the mind right there. And that's content creation. It's almost like it's like Kevin Smith kind of letting you know how he made Clerks.
Exactly. It's exactly like that. Before we get into that,
save all the Clerks talk for tomorrow. So the Clerks in review. We got a Clerks in review coming up. I don't want 1 second of that podcast burned here, Nick, you hater.
So here's where we're at. All right. It's now out there. The studio is happening October 14th. We're going to be there. We've been working tirelessly to get this thing done. I'm so excited about it, but it results in a lot of conversations between me and Nick. We're on the phone all day, every day, making these calls. He goes to Portugal and I'm like, okay, we're about to launch this thing. Let's go. We'll figure this all out. It's going to be great. You need a vacation. But of course, 3 days into that vacation, Nick's fucking hitting me up like a goddamn little rat trying to get some food. He's like, Tim, I just need to talk about the studio. I need to call you. That's
how it went, right? That is not how that happened. How it happened was Tim pulled it. Yo, dude, no big deal. And we don't need to do this, but it'd be super cool if you could animate this thing real quick if you're bored in your free time. And I was like, yeah, of course. I mean, I'm obviously trying to check out as much as humanly be off the grid and offline as much as humanly possible. But there are the realities that we're running a company. We have this massive thing happening. And D knew this, but we just thought it was important to go celebrate our 10-year someplace fun. And I was like, look, occasionally I'm going to have to pop on and sit in the at the lobby of this very beautiful hotel in Porto and in my jammies and design a logo animation for the spare bedroom for the announcement video. And so Tim and I hopped on the phone. He's like, how's it going? I was like, it's good. Caught up on a couple things, yada, yada, yada. He was like, how's your vacation so far? I was like, oh, it's great. We tasted lots of wine. We stayed at a really nice hotel. I'm getting a tan. I fell off a horse. We're walking around the city a little bit more tomorrow. And Tim's like, hold on. Back up to that, the second to last one. What did you say? And I was like, oh yeah, I fell off a horse yesterday.
So then he goes, so I fell off the horse. We're walking, like we're on the horses on the beach and like the water freaked the horse out and I fell off the horse and we keep talking about it. I was like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm okay. Whatever. I was like, that sounds crazy. He's like, yeah, you know, I didn't realize it, but part of the package we got, there was a drone recording all of it. And I was like, is there footage of you falling off a horse that a drone caught on camera?
Yeah. The guy got it for sure. He got it. yeah. So we've reached out to get that. He was supposed to send me the link a week ago, but we have that. And I just want to set the tone for everyone. Cause it's not like this horse buck like threw me, sure. Which is how I'm now telling everyone I got thrown from a horse.
As you have to. You have to. Yeah, I understand that.
A lion approached you and it kind of like reared up and it got scared.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Uh-huh. What had happened was a couple things. One, I don't know how to ride a horse. Two,
to your credit, Nick, it seems like it would be pretty easy. It's not like a car where I got to put it in gear or whatever. You just climb on it and you put your feet in the stirrups and you go. I understand. I've fallen off a horse. No big deal.
That's what you got to do, right? And so, you know, D's ridden a horse a bunch of times. We're late to this thing. So I think we missed the sort of prep that we're supposed to have just in case. Sure.
D seems like someone who would ride a horse. Yeah, like she's ridden.
You could tell me like D grew up with a horse and has like an equestrian background. 100%. And like when you go back to her house, there's a bunch of blue ribbons and stuff on the wall. Mm.
And they're like, you know, hey there, Delilah or something.
That's the name of the horse. Yeah, okay.
I will let her know that. That'll be very high praise. And mm-hmm. she'll feel good about that.
Or totally offensive. We'll find out.
No, she'll be fine. She loves that. If anything that has anything to do with like ritziness, she's into. Okay. Totally. We get there and the guy's like, you've ridden a horse before, right? I was like, yeah. He goes, cool, hop on. And they have these little, because we're late. I mean, we're like an hour late to this point. Like,
oh, wow.
To the point where I was like, I feel so bad about this. You guys drunk on port
right now?
I love that.
It was a miscommunication with, we had hired someone to take us from one of the places to the other, and we just didn't know how long it was going to take. And he was like, oh, you guys want to stop off for lunch? And we're like, sure. We thought he knew where we were supposed to be, and he was like, I have no idea what time you guys are supposed to be there. And we're like, oh, we're really late then.
I love the idea that the horse was late and it shows up like, all right, we're just fucking guy who like wants to ride up here.
Like, oh, is this horse hammer?
Horse's out of pasture, like lifts its leg. Oh, man, I'm late. I got to go, guys.
Bunch of port wine vomiting and shit.
So we jump on. And so, by the way, they use these, I've never seen this before, but they have the horses go by these little ramps. And you walk up onto the ramp and you can just easily step onto the horse. And I asked the guy, I was like, oh, is this because people have difficulty getting up on the horse? And he goes, yes, it's that. But also when they do that, it's bad for the horse. It hurts the horse. People jumping up and down and ribbon, you know, he's like, we want to be nice to the horses. So I was like, oh, cool. I don't have to do that thing. Cause that's the hardest part, right? Is like put your foot way high in the saddle and try to get the other thing over there. I was like, cool, dude, this is fucking easy. I'll get on and off this thing. It's all I got. Surely I'm never going to have to get back on this horse again. We get on the beach and our guide goes over toward the water. And my horse goes, I don't want to go there. Like, he just bucks back this way. He sees the water, goes, I don't want that. And like an idiot, I was like, they told me to follow in line, like, with the rest of the horses. So I'm going to see if I can get the horse to go over there. Mind you, I'm not, like, sitting properly probably. And it was later brought to my attention by my wife that you're supposed to put your heels down so it, like, plants in. And I'm just willy-nilly. Anyway, so I was like, I steer the horse kind of over toward the water. And the wave comes in again, and the second the water hits the front hoof of the horse, it bolts in like a fucking strafing format that I didn't know a horse could do. Did you know that a horse can strafe?
Oh yeah.
Right?
Did you know a horse can strafe?
Yeah.
Has to be one of those motivational posters.
Yeah. When you turn your GameCube on, but the controller was like set wrong, and so like the fucking like camera's all fucked up.
Yes, exactly. And so in my brain, what this looked like, Greg, was I got thrown like hard from this horse. And of course, given my years of jiu-jitsu training, I landed perfectly on my back you know, slapped out, made sure the pressure was all over my body. And then in this beautiful pillowy white Portuguese sand, which was very, very comfortable to land. If you're gonna get thrown on anywhere, you know, a foot of fresh powder is probably the best place for it in the form of sand. And I said, when we got back, I was like, can you believe, Danielle, that I got thrown by a horse? And she goes, I want you to stop using that word thrown. Because really what happened was it looked like a bag of, you ever get like a bag of onions or potatoes?
Oh, yeah.
And you put it on something and it just sort of goes and falls off.
Yeah.
That's what I looked like to her. And I was like, oh, that's not nearly as cool. But the hardest thing was the guy with the drone had to, like, he was like, oh, I saw you fall. And I piloted the drone to stop your horse from running so that you didn't have to walk back. And I was like, that's real nice of you. But what I did have to do is get back on the horse, which is hard.
No box this time.
No box this time.
And you're just a little guy.
I'm not tall. And so our guide came up to me. And she was like, can you get back on? Like it was like dead serious. She was like, can you get back on this horse? And I'm like, I'm going to fucking get back on this horse. And in my brain, Andy, I'm like,
how am I getting back on this horse?
I'm freaking out, but I'm like, I got to nail this on the first try because I can't fall off a horse twice in one day. I can't do that.
People don't do it once in one day.
So I waited for this nice young lady to look the other way. And I did the thing where I had to pull my own foot up by my like this, you know?
Yeah.
By my pant leg to get it in the stirrup. And then just said, fuck it, grip it and rip it. Grabbed on a little handle and just threw my leg over so hard that I almost fell off the other side. But I stopped myself and fuck. I looked our guide in the eye and she looked back at me. She goes, you're strong. And then walked back to her horse and jumped on like it was nothing. And we just kept going. I was like, this was the coolest moment of my life.
How did that end in actually the dopest fucking, like, that is an origin story for you.
You were a horse man. It was incredible. It was gorgeous. And the whole thing was a fun experience. And thankfully I wasn't hurt and that was great. And man, I'll tell you what though, when you go back and you see like Portuguese horse trainers, I don't know what the word would be for them. I don't know if it's like, I think you nailed it. And they look you in the eye and they go, you doing okay? And you go, I'm like, yeah, I'm good, man. I'm good. He's like, I heard you fell off. I was like, yeah, I fell off. I'm good. He's like, glad you're okay. And then you can just, as I turned around, I could feel the laughter happening. Sure. You know, Andy? Where you're like, these guys are going to make so much fucking fun of me. Meanwhile, I'm in like nice jeans and my cute white shoes that are like, all fucked up now.
Was the drone rolling?
Add it to the end of your montage.
We're putting this shit on our company TikTok.
That's my favorite thing about this is the idea that Nick like is okay, fell off the horse, overcorrected, all of that is presumably on camera. But I just love the idea that while this is all happening, Nick has to just hear a fucking drone out there.
And which Sean Finnegan Nick's least favorite the drone. Thing. Yeah.
The drone. It was so fun. And not only that, but like once D knew I was okay, that's when the real laughter started.
Sure.
That's when she could not stop laughing at me. And she was like, of course you fell off the horse. Also, I got the horse, Greg. I always get the fucking horse that wants to eat constantly. It's always trying to eat something.
They don't respect you. They understand.
Is that a thing? Can I talk to your mom about that? How do I get the respect from the horse so as not to eat the entire time? That would be great.
We'll call mom.
I would have loved if like Nick falls off the horse, the Jonas out there recording, and then our old neighbors at the old studio got mad. They were there with the drone too. They're like, you flying drones with us?
I told you I had to fucking do those drones anymore.
Hello.
Hey, mom. You're on the Kind of Funny podcast. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. I want to thank you for a lovely visit. Of course, these past few days, you're already home now, though. So as usual, the guys can hear you, but you can't hear the guys. So I need to communicate to you that Nick came back from a lovely trip in Portugal, and he's fine. Don't worry, he's fine. But he fell off a horse, got right back on. Got right back on it. No big deal. And don't wow it. Apparently, awesome, it was like a bag of potatoes that slowly fell off. It slowly fell off, so it's not that big of a deal. But more importantly, he's saying that when he goes on horseback riding adventures with his wife, he always gets stuck with the horse that just wants to eat. And I said, that's because they probably don't respect you. And then Nick said, well, how can we call your mom to find out how to get the respect of a horse so it doesn't just stop to eat all the time? Jamie Kennedy, take it away.
You don't allow the horse to do it to begin with. You make sure that you are stronger than him. Outthink him. When he stops, he's going to put his head down. Make sure you give him a good smack in the mouth and keep his head up. If he gets his head down, then you lose. You've got to keep his head up and push forward with your legs. If a horse is moving, he's not going to stop to eat.
Wow.
Can you tell your mom that I want everyone, even horses, to like me? So I'm probably not capable of doing what you just said.
All right. Nick just said there's no way he could do that. He's too weak-willed, but I appreciate the advice. He's not. You know how Nick is. He's a pushover and then literally a fall over here. Because again, it wasn't like he really got thrown off the horse. Apparently, he just like slumped to the side and fell. Similar to me that one time when the saddle wasn't properly put on, but that was a saddle fault. Not
I
me.
Remember that. Yeah.
That wasn't my fault. That was, you know, user error at the barn.
That was the trail rides. Yep.
I mean, wait, before she goes, I tell her when I look back at the saddle after I fell, it was like sideways. They had to like reconfigure.
Nick's making up a bunch of excuses. Thanks, Mom.
I'm not. I'm deadly serious.
Love you guys. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Your mom is so amazing, but her relationship with horses is awesome. Probably the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life. Like everything she says is just it's perfect.
That
it's
like, has to have been like the best advice I've ever heard about anything.
Period.
Like in the mouth.
That shit was so concise and to the point. And like, oh yeah, like she's seen that problem a million times with these goddamn animals. So she knows exactly what to do. And Nick, if you would have also had that in your knowledge bank, then not only would your trainer have called you strong, she would have been like, you're strong and you're strong-minded. You outthunk the horse, you know?
Yeah.
But instead, Nick's response was, I just want everyone to like me, including the horses, which, God, comes from the realest fucking place ever. I love that.
No, there was a moment where, because she had to redo the saddle, she was like, can you hold my horse? And I was like, absolutely terrified.
Hold your horses.
So I grabbed onto the reins of her horse, and her horse, and because horses, I think, are very intuitive animals, at least they're big. And this horse... Yeah.
Fair.
One of those things is not the other thing.
You know, they're big, so they must be intuitive. And this horse came up to me and literally did the thing where, like, I just was arm's length with it, and it walked up to me and kind of did the thing where it puts its head on my head. Like, I saw it. It's okay.
Like, it's like a mind meld. It's kind of like
it's okay, dude. It's okay.
Yeah.
Like, it happens, right? And I, like, pet its nose. I, like, pet its little nose. And meanwhile, Dee's watching this. I can see her heart literally melting as her you know, husband is petting this horse. Because, by the way, like, if you gave me the choice.
Call back to her and her equestrian background. You know what I mean?
When exactly.
She was out there with, what, Darshell? Who was it, Andy? What was the horse's name?
Delilah.
How there with the Delilah, you know what I mean? Coming of age story.
Yeah.
D out there, and they rode into town and stopped the fire from happening. But yeah, we could tell this story.
That was a Lifetime movie. Yeah, that was straight to cable. I would like to.
Oh, no. Nick was in the middle of something. I just had
to stop. Oh, no. I was just going to say, I obviously, like, every time we get a chance to spend time with animals that I don't normally get to hang out with, it's always awesome. But every time I get to interact with a horse or a big animal like that, I'm like, well, I don't even want to ride this. I don't want any of that trouble. I just want to hang out and like bond with an animal.
You just
like
want it
that,
to be cool.
You
know? And have it
like honestly, if I could go to these things and just feed the horse and like help a little bit, like, oh, do the little thing, they brush it. I'm like, I'd be cool with that. I'd be okay with that. I would actually do that as opposed to getting thrown from a horse to 2 miles like I did.
I don't think you got thrown again. It's not like you slumped over.
Based on what Jamie Kennedy gave us in that description, I don't know if I've ever related to an animal more than a horse, where you start a munching and snacking, that's it. You're in. Yeah. I need a little smack in the mouth from somebody because, like,
exactly.
I'm always wanting a snack, right? Mm-hmm. But if I don't start it, then I feel like I'm way less inclined to want to do it. Like, the longer I go throughout the day without starting a snack binge, then the snack binge is way less likely to happen. But if at 5 p.m., if I get a little handful of Skinny Pop popcorn, that bag is done by 5:42. Oh,
fuck, dude. Popcorn's
like,
the worst.
So fast. Everything in this house is done. But the other day, I bought a new bag of Hot Cheetos, by the way. New bag, new brand. Sweet Carolina Pepper.
Ooh.
Carolina Reaper, rather.
They're Hot Cheetos.
It's a hot pepper.
Hot Cheetos. Yeah, actual Hot Cheeto branded. Sweet Carolina Reaper. And I bought them, and I went through about, like, maybe a third, maybe half of the bag. And then I walked up to Barrett and Alyssa. I was like, I'm going to leave half of this bag over here just in case you want to try them. Like, they were really spicy, though. but I just don't really want to eat the rest of it. It was one of those bigger sized bags. It was like the one that probably cost like $2.80 or something like that.
He presents this like he said the sentence normally and not like in the middle of like coughing and still being deeply affected by that, which
sure.
Really our spicy. Response was, hell no, we're not going to eat that.
Yeah, they're really spicy, but like really damn good because they do have a bit of a sweet kind of hint in there. Mm. But Barrett, I noticed that 2 days went by and they weren't touched.
Yeah.
So what did me, man-child at the age of 34, do when I walked into the kitchen at 10:24 in the morning? I ate the rest of the bag for breakfast.
Dude,
and I had the rest of the bag. And you may have noticed the other day that when me, Mike, and Nick streamed that we were back for Destiny.
You're just crying.
By the way, I just want to play more Destiny. No, if I ever pointed to the camera, my fingers looked red.
Oh my God, I fucked up. We did a thing. We did something on camera the other day, and I almost called you out on it. But I was like, it's probably just the light.
No, it was definitely red fingers.
Hold on, Andy, right now.
That always concerns.
Show us those fingers.
Nothing.
That thumb's a little. That thumb's a little orange, bro.
Just look a little red. Just saying.
That thumb's a little orange.
That's kind of permanent for Andy at this point.
No, I think it's maybe just a light. No, actually, that's.
And he's like in Dune when their eyes turn a different color because so much spice.
Yeah, sure.
He just always has hot Cheeto fingers.
It always concerns me, Andy, when you leave food in the kitchen, especially we talk about all the time of like. Kevin being like, oh yeah, I'll eat like 3 day old pizza or whatever. And that's really concerning. And sometimes you'll leave pizza out. And in my head, I'm like, I need to throw this away because I'm scared he's going to go back to it and eat it and not think about it. And the one time I didn't think about it, you went for the hot Cheetos for breakfast. All right.
You don't ever have to worry about the pizza. Alyssa, intuitive, notices that when Andy's going to eat the pizza, he'll put it in the Ziploc bag, put it in the fridge.
Because
the other day, she like I was done with pizza. I ate like maybe half of the box, and I put it up on the stove.
And clearly that means trash.
Trash. I'm gonna throw this out later. Maybe Barrett throws it out. Thank you, Barrett. Because sometimes I just forget. I'll walk by and be like, remember that? Remember to do that?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't do it. But Alyssa was like, oh, Andy, last night I had a couple slices of pizza. I hope you're cool with that. I noticed that like when you plan on reheating it later, you'll Ziploc it. You'll put it in the fridge, but this was just up on the side. I was like, you made the right call. That's the right call. Eat the rest of it if you want.
I like a good communal pizza, yeah. Once it gets to the stove, that means it's up for grabs, yeah.
Yeah, like there's no, like, I would never reheat that. I thought about it before, but I would never, like, want to reheat that.
We got the air fryer.
If anything,
right
to make
there,
myself
though.
Just feel better, you know?
We did, me and Kevin were at the studio and it was still being built. It was like maybe 3 or 4 months ago. We were finishing up some stuff and our contractor. I think we had eaten like burritos or something like that. We were
Nick Gagos in chat said caught red fingered. That's pretty good. All right, go ahead.
That's great. And our contractor came in just to check on something. And we're like, hey, what's up, man? He's like, hey, not too much. Hey, I got some Costco pizza. Do you guys want it? And me and Kevin, by the way, we had just eaten lunch. We're like, we want Costco pizza.
Yeah, we want Costco pizza.
Of course we do.
Yeah, and we both ate a piece. And he goes, well, I don't. So there's like 2 pieces left or 3 pieces left, and it was you know, Costco pizza is fucking huge. They come in like the giant boxes.
Oh yeah.
And so Kevin's like, should we take it home? I was like, should we take it home? And Kevin's like, nah, leave it here. I'll eat it tomorrow. And it's in like an open construction zone. And I was like, Kevin, I don't know if that's like healthy to do. And he goes, ah, don't worry about it. I do it all the time. He's like, I'll eat pizza 2-3 days from now. It doesn't matter. It's fine. It's got a lot of preservatives to it.
And you're like, all right, well, even beyond that part. Like, what about the asbestos and dust and water?
Exactly. So flash forward to the next day. I'm the first person in for the thing that we're supposed to do. And for whatever reason, Kevin's words are ringing in the back of my brain. He's like, it'll be fine for a few days. And I'm like, I am hungry. So I ate one of the pieces of pizza the next day. And then Kevin ate the rest of it.
Hell yeah. Double teased it. Disgusting. Well, comments in the Twitch chat from a child, Keegan Hill, says Kevin is immortal. And that made me crack up quite a bit.
Is he immortal?
I do think Kevin does imbibe himself with so many different things that he can't be stopped.
He's Mr. Burns.
You know what I mean? That is, he exposes himself to so many different things that I feel like he is naturally building immunity to everything that would kill a normal man.
Oh man, we're gonna tell the story on the.
Don't do it. Reveal. Don't do it.
But
don't
I want to talk
it.
About.
He needs to be here for his perspective.
He's not here. We already talked about it on the stream earlier today.
We have to talk about it today without him because he will not let us talk.
He won't.
I want him. What is he doing? What is he on the schedule?
He won't let us get a word in.
He'll try to defend himself.
He's working on internet stuff right now.
Yeah, really busy right now.
So is he like? Is he in that part of the studio where he doesn't want to be bugged? Where he's like, like riding the lightning?
Yeah.
Look, he asked me to run the stream tomorrow, so I'm assuming.
I'm gonna say, do you have time for fun?
Pretty do you?
No.
No, we don't. The point is to not get him in here. He'll talk about it on interview.
That he should be in here for it.
He'll talk about it on interview. He'll defend
he'll talk about
it tomorrow.
Fine, go he'll ahead. I will argue the case of Kevin Coelho, but go for
fair
it.
Enough. Fair enough. So we're at Clerks 3 yesterday.
Well, should we talk about our sponsors first and then come back?
Sure, why not, everybody? Of course, you can watch us record this show live and alienate our friend Kevin before he gets the chance to see it anywhere else if you're on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, you'd also be able to write in. You can be a Patreon producer. You get it with the exclusive post show we do each and every week. But most important for right now is you'd get the show ad-free. But speaking of ads, Greg Way, here's a word from our sponsor.
This episode is brought to you by Me Undies. We've all heard of gut instinct, but have you ever heard of butt instinct? It's when your butt tells you it wants new undies. Listen to your butt. Luckily, we work with Me Undies, makers of the most buttery, soft, and sustainable undies, bralettes, and socks that exist. You know that I have lived my life Me Undies head to toe for the majority of the last couple years. I'm just all in on Me Undies because they are absolutely the most comfortable clothes I've ever put on my body. Available in sizes extra small to 4XL. They have new colors and prints dropping weekly, so there's always something exciting to check out. You can try their free-to-join membership for free shipping on every order and exclusive perks like an item shipped to your door every month, secret sales, and early access to their newest stuff. MeUndies has a great offer for you guys out there. For any first-time purchasers, you get 20% off plus free shipping and returns. To get 20% off your first order, free shipping, and 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. That's MeUndies.com/kindoffunny. Shout out to Shopify for sponsoring this episode. Shopify powers our very own kindoffunny.com/store, our merch store. And we love how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business, so upstarts, startups, and established businesses alike can sell everywhere. Shopify unlocks the opportunity of your business to more people every day, every 28 seconds. An entrepreneur like you makes the first sale on Shopify. Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. You can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. You can go to shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase, for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/kfgames right now. That's shopify.com/kfgames, all lowercase.
All right. Nick,
I love that you have a tiny Mjolnir. Now, to preface this, we did talk about this on the stream today, Mike and me and Kevin. And Kevin said we could talk about it today, but he wanted a chance to defend himself.
Oh, great. Okay, cool. That makes me feel
I told him we were going to talk about this, and I assume we'll talk about it again tomorrow on Clerks.
Dude, if there's one thing Kinda Funny does, it's make one memory and talk about it for 8 years. So don't worry about it.
It's true. Very true.
Y'all remember when Joey bought the wrong theater? What a moron.
Remember when we walked in, when me and Nick walked into Lightyear to watch Buzz Lightyear, the movie? And I was like, damn, it's a real small screen. And then Nick goes, should I tweet at Joey about it? And so the whole time Nick is live tweeting my experience because I was running late. He was like, Andy, I'll live tweet what's happening in the previews. And then I replied to Nick's tweet, wow, this is a small screen. And then Nick just puts Joey question mark.
I hate it. I'm so sorry. Literally, Joey.
This is so no. Joey, again, we already talked about this too earlier on the stream. I got Joey pissed off at me because she made a comment. Yes, I sat next to her yesterday, and she leans over to me and goes, screen's kind of small, right? And I'm like, I know. I'm like, Greg really fucked us on this when he booked the smallest theater possible. And then earlier today, I was like, but it's not. When I retold the story on the stream earlier, I said, but at least it wasn't as small as that one time Joey made us watch Deadpool 2 on a Nokia flip phone screen.
Man, you turned that right around on her.
I did. Don't try to be my friend.
She tried to be your friend, and you just were like, you know
I'm
what?
I'm a fucking porcupine, Greg. I'm a porcupine. You can't fucking lift me up.
Jacek in chat makes a great point, though, that like if we're going to talk about Deadpool 2, we have to also bring up when Nick was trying to book a nice place for him and Bruce to go to lunch, and he booked a dive bar. A shitty dive bar that had no seat.
Are we airing it all out? Fine. I booked the dive bar. It came up already.
It was a dive bar. It was like a sports bar in the middle of the day in downtown San Francisco.
They're like, why are you reserving a table?
So much sadder. Like, at least a dive bar would have been like, this was a choice. This sports bar felt like Nick chose this on purpose. Like,
listen, we all make mistakes, and I'll tell you what, I do stupid shit. Okay, obviously.
Remember the time you jumped over the wall at the movie theater?
There it is.
We had to get there.
We had to get there eventually. It's fine. Get it all out.
I had such a great time when I was back home. I think this most recent time when I went home during the summer, and that video kind of popped up on a recommended feed, and I was like, oh yeah, there's this animated version up on YouTube. There it is. I have to show this to like my family members because this is like easy content for them to consume, you know? Yeah. And they were fucking cracking up. They're like, why would he do that? I was like, I have no idea. Like,
nobody knows.
Just a dumb ass decision. Just was not thinking it.
But speaking of dumb decisions, last night.
Flash forward yesterday. We were all excited to watch Clerks 3. Now, one of those movies where I think it's like a Fathom Events type thing. So there's no previews, right? So me and Kevin and Joey and Paula were out grabbing some snacks at the snack bar thinking we got 10, 15 minutes, right? Of course, Joey and I walk in right as the movie's starting. So Kevin walks in with Paula as the opening sequence is happening.
And it's important to point out, of course, that Kevin and I are the biggest Kevin Smith fans of the group.
Yeah.
And so I've been there sitting at CD 645 waiting. I'm ready for this film. You know, I'm tweeting about it. I'm doing my thing. And when the lights go down and Kevin's not there, my antenna is up. And I was like, what's going on?
Right.
And I did turn to Tim when it actually, I'm like, isn't it hilarious that Kevin's not here? Like, this is Kevin's not here and it's Kevin. You know what I mean? And so like the movie has started and is rolling and Kevin and Paula walk into a darkened theater. And I can see Kevin down there with his little blunt man hat on, or chronic hat. Yeah. Blunt man hat. And I was just like, Kevin, because it wasn't like going enough to where I had to be quiet. Right. Kevin, he's like, all right. Then he like does his little Kevin run up the stairs and he turns down the aisle and then he comes past everybody and he passes me and Tim. And I'm then just locked back into the movie. Let's have a great time. And then there's just a
No. That's not what happened. You guys missed a vital component of this story. Lights go down. Kevin rounds the corner. A little bit, you know, when Kevin's in a little bit of a hurry, that's when magic happens. He starts going up the, Tim, you're muted, by the way. He starts going up the stairs. And me and Joey see this first because we're the last people in. So we're sitting on the, like, on the rail, right? He's got a big, like, one of those big cart things of, like, holders for all the stuff. And he goes up and
he couldn't have had a more comical thing in his hand.
No. It's like a set piece, right? It was like a prop that someone gave him to be like, this is going to be amazing. Big popcorn. All the stuff, those ropes the sour ropes. Anyway, Paul's right behind him. Kevin gets to the top of the stairs, and as he does, he's going a little too fast, and his toe clips the top stair, and he stumbles, and he stops, and he looks up, and who does he lock eyes with? Me and Joey, of course, the worst people. And I can tell what Kevin's thinking. Thank God I didn't eat shit in front of all the people in this organization. Nick would have been the worst. Absolute worst person
for sure
to see that like as close as possible because I would have just given him the shake of my head and then I would have just laughed at him, right? He knows this is our relationship, right? We chuckle because I'm like, ah, he goes, exactly. And then of course proceeds to go down the line, gets arguably six more seats in front of us, maybe seven or eight. And then Greg like nearly taking over because I didn't see it happen. I heard it.
I didn't see it either, but it was the.
It happened right in front of me. If you want,
it's right in front of me and Barrett. Yeah. I turn. You know, I'm still trying to catch all Andy's the Kevin laugh, Smith action.
Just cackling over there.
I'm still trying to catch all the Kevin Smith action. I turn and look, and I'm like, was that real or was Kevin doing a bit? And I see Kevin on all fours get up and turn around. And goes, oh, so that was the best place you could think to put that, huh?
Kevin at this point is. Doing a speed walk, almost a jog, running to his seat as if he's going to get in trouble if he isn't in his seat at the right moment. And we're in the intro. There's not a whole lot happening in the movie yet. It's a musical kind of start, and the music's pumping. And yeah, he is running really quickly to his seat and then trips. And it is the sound effect that you put to it, Greg, is perfect because visually each drop kind of coincided with another sound. And it was just, and it was like a building falling down where it just kept on collapsing to the point where I thought that he would have disappeared at a point. And he just kept going so low. And then he stands up. Stands back up, didn't drop a damn thing to his credit. Looks back in Gia and goes, "You think that was the best place to put that?" And I start laughing immediately, and then I stop because I don't want to continue and have him being like, "What the fuck?" Like, I didn't want it to be one of those things. We're in a movie theater with a lot of other people, so I try not to make a big deal out of it. I immediately did not really react because I didn't want it to, become a thing. Go ahead, Nick.
You're a much better person than
what
me,
Joey. Because was it Gia's bag? What happened? Yeah. Her purse?
I'll let them go for a second. I will add in my side of the story.
Finish up my side of the story because Andy, I hear Andy laughing. And whenever Andy laughs, I'm like, it sets me off. I laugh my ass off. Of course, I knew it was Kevin because Kevin was the only person moving. And only Kevin can make that cacophony of sound in that succession. I don't see him fall. What I see is I look over after the fall, after the sound hits me, I look back over and it looks like the scene from Rocky 2 where Rocky picks the fucking log back up, throws it back on his shoulders and starts lunging up back into reality. He builds himself up one step at a time like he's a power lifter. And I fucking lost it. I was like, that was the most perfect way to get up if you're Kevin. I mean, he couldn't get up any other way because you got this little narrow runway, so you had to do all legs, but it's just like he just couldn't use his arms at all. It was just all legs and glutes.
Well, immediately
all legs and glutes.
Immediately he throws the blame to Gia for her bag being in the walkway, which if you're walking like a normal human being, you would have maybe tapped your foot on it and be like, "Oh, there's a bag here. Let me step over."
Paint the picture a little clearer too. This is we've got the reclining chairs, and so most of us are reclined, so there is a little bit more of a thin place. And most people who bring their bags will put their bags on the wall that's in front of it, right?
And to Kevin's credit, as Kevin's power of attorney right now, because he's not here, he is carrying an obscenely large tray.
He couldn't see his feet.
It's very much, as somebody who carries a baby around like this all the time, I've been shocked by the blind spot I have. I've been shocked by the blind spot, Ben.
Do you carry your child like you've got him in a headlock? What are you talking about?
These are his ass is here and his legs are staring at me. I'm going, "You cute little guy, how you doing?" And sometimes I do this and he starts laughing.
Greg the lawyer is right now trying to gain favor with the jury, trying to be like, "I'm a father. I have blind spots every once in a while."
I do.
No, you can't do that bullshit. Because Kevin, again, is doing that thing where he is moving way too fast, way faster than he needs to be. And he stumbles, and it reminds me a lot of a moment, and Joey's in chat right now, and she remembers this. I know she does. We were at the old studio, and I had like a cup or a bowl or something of food on my desk, and it's on my desk, right?
Yeah.
And Kevin is running, hits it with his shoulder, and it falls off and spills a bunch of shit everywhere, and he goes, "Why'd you have it so close to the thing?" I was like, "Don't you fucking try to blame me on this one. You're running through this place. And you knocked this thing off," and he immediately kind of realized, like, "Yeah, that's on me. Why am I like blaming you for having a thing perfectly placed on your desk? Like, it's on me because I'm running through here recklessly." And that's what it reminded me of like him turning back and getting mad at Gia's bag, which, badly placed or not, a normal person is not running through that area with as if like it's the safest place to run through. You know what I mean? So that's my point of view.
I will say I have tripped over bags in the dark, not running in that same setting, because you're trying to go to the bathroom and someone put like their darker backpack out there and you trip over a little bit. I have actually gotten into arguments with people when that happened.
I had to,
because the guy's like, "What's wrong with you?" I was like, "What do you mean, what's wrong with me? You got a dark backpack in a dark theater. I can't see it, and this is where people are supposed to walk." But Gia's backpack was not dark.
I had to imagine camel. I had to imagine, Nick, that there were people in this theater that had to assume we didn't know each other, And we're just like, oh, wow, sure. That guy just like chewed out that lady for having something in the way. Because like to a normal person, we are about four seats in between. It's Kevin, it's me, it's Barrett. Oh, I guess it's Tim and then Gia, or Gia and then Tim.
Gia then Tim.
Either way, just like the optics of it, I'm sure somebody sitting behind us in the back row just sees Kevin really loudly fall and stumble, like maximum volume, of course, and then turns back and goes, that was the best place you could put that?
So and they're like, oh, there's about to be a fight.
So my side of this is this has been an ongoing thing for a large percentage of my life at this point with both Kevin and Gia in separate ways.
Yeah.
Gia is approximately 5 feet tall. There's some debate. All right. And her backpack.
Perfect height, by the way.
Is the largest thing that she could possibly put on her back. Like she is full on turtle mode when she's wearing this thing.
It looks like there's another Gia on her back.
It is extremely large for her. And what's funniest about this is this isn't the first time this has happened. It's been a recurring thing for years.
I love this.
Between Gia and Kevin in particular.
Yeah. All right.
Now, I think it's funny for multiple reasons, because I am very particular about my space, about like what's around me. And like Nick, it's like I want people to like me. I want things to just be good. So I follow a lot of rules in the movie theater. One of those rules is like be aware of your surroundings. But it's the flip as well, where it's like I would never put my bag there and just leave it there. And if I saw someone coming, immediately I'd be like, I'm responsible for this bag. I should fucking move this bag. The other side
common
of it is,
courtesy, some would call it.
If I was one of the walkers, or as I would do, scooters, because there's no reason to be fucking power walking through these aisles, right? Yeah.
You gotta shuffle.
And you just use like your a horse. Foot. You yeah, exactly. Strafing horse, all right? Exactly. Through these aisles.
It's the most freely I've seen Kevin move ever, as if he was like in a wide open space.
Yeah. Generally, the more free Kevin thinks he is, the faster he runs. That usually doesn't coincide with the environment. Yeah. It's usually opposite.
But it's like, for me, I don't give a shit if I look down and it looks totally open. I'm still going to do that little shuffle of putting my hands on the thing in front of me, shuffle over, put my foot, make sure I'm not hitting anything, because I'm not trying to stand on someone's shit. You don't know what they're putting down there, because that space is for them to put things. So it's like, I see both sides. I am equally mad at everybody involved in this, all right? Because yeah. I've told Gia so many times, you got to move your fucking bag. Mm-hmm. Like, I know you're putting it there, but if someone's walking, you got to move the bag. It's on you, right? But Kevin and her have gotten into this so many times.
I love it because
Kevin has tripped on Gia's bag so many times. And it's just like, I look at it, and to the both of them, I'm like, why don't either of you learn your lessons from this? It's just like, come on. There's different sides to this. But the fact that, like, it, because you're right, it's not like it was dark. It's not like you couldn't see this thing. I don't care what Kevin's holding. It's like, you should look where you're fucking going on the floor as you're power walking with a comical amount of fucking things in your head.
Now, I just might be a small town podcast lawyer, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, but here's what I would tell you. There was very few people in this showing of Clerks 3. And the fact that Kevin, shocking, the fact that Kevin and Paula walked in with all the light of the theater being broadcast on all the faces and couldn't see us, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, how dark must this walkway be that is blocked by the wall, and then the people are here, and then it's just a black chasm of things going on there? You have the food. You're trying to provide for your wife. You're late for one of your favorite movie franchises of all time. Is it really Kevin's fault here?
Yes. Yes.
Gia's backpack, we've established, is 5 feet tall. It's all big. Right? And Nick said it best. It is camel colored.
It's
like
camel.
This thing is like,
like it looks like a human being was sitting in front of Gia's seat at that point.
I mean, now, look here, the amount of times that I've walked through an aisle and I accidentally kick a bag, but I don't stumble and fall down dramatically because I'm walking at a normal speed and I'm not walking. I'm doing the shuffle. I'm feeling around. I'm doing like a, like what, when you see like flies, like with their antennas, like they're trying to smell the air and taste the air. That's what my feet are doing, because it's like, I don't want a potential fall right here. Mm-hmm. I have a big ass popcorn and a big ass cup in my hands. So therefore, I'm kind of feeling around on the ground. It's like, if somebody were to blindfold you and asked you to navigate through your room, what would you do? You'd kind of like walk with your hands and like, yeah, you'd strafe really carefully. Not like that fast horse was strafing on with Nick,
but
you would carefully walk around. But there is just a lack of self-awareness in the speed and momentum and movement of Kevin Coelho in this movie theater. And it was astounding. Like, I saw the speed at which he was moving and thought, that's way too fast. Like, why are you so urgent?
Oh, no, this is going to end badly for everyone.
Like, I just thought, like, why are you moving that fast? Right? Like, you're not, I don't know, like, you're not super late or going to get in trouble or, like, it's not like you came back from the restroom.
He wants to be settled in. He wants to be there for the movie he wants to see.
Yeah, he was upset that they were late, that they misunderstood that there were no previews. He even asked me later on, he was like, what did I miss at the beginning? I was like, well, you know, you'd come in right when the movie had started. He's like, but did I miss like a message from Kevin Smith? I was like, yeah, he was like bummed out about that. So he was, you know, maybe not in his best mind emotionally.
The best mood.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But okay, he let that affect his physical attributes.
Earlier in this episode, Nick said Kevin was moving a little too fast, and that's when the magic happens. And
like, yeah, that is, it really is.
It's the it really is. Most accurate way to put what happened last night.
Yeah. Remember that time he melted in the studio? He just kind of melted down into the floor and then bounced back up. Remember that, Andy?
With the socks when he...
Yeah, with the socks.
When he slipped over with his socks.
That was great.
Yeah, like, again, it's just one of those, like, it's bull in the china shop. You got to understand that you can't be moving like that, especially in this situation. So that's... Ladies and gentlemen, the jury, that is my defense here.
That's a fact. You just can't. Now, the other thing, I just want to say this. You also should not be putting a 5-foot tall backpack in the goddamn way. And if you do, be aware of what's going on. You know what I mean? So I'm just saying, everybody could be just a little more courteous
but
in the theater situation.
On the flip side of that, was Kevin moving too fast for Gia to react?
No.
Now here's where it gets interesting, right? Because no, he wasn't. I saw how fast he was moving. If I saw a fast mover like that coming down the aisle, I would think I got to move my bag, right? But there's a possibility. I'm not accusing your lady friend Tim of a conspiracy here. But if this has happened more than once, there's a possibility that maybe consciously, or I would say subconsciously, Gia puts that bag there knowing that Kevin's going to trip over it. Just in case.
Damn, you think this was a premeditated act?
I'm not saying I think it was or was not. I'm just saying that it once is an accident. Twice is motive. You know what I mean? Twice is like, now we're doing this on purpose. And if this keeps happening, I don't even know, man. I mean, maybe they just shouldn't sit next to each other. Maybe we'll put Gio on the other side and Kevin on the other side so we don't have the great bagspiracy anymore.
As an example for people wondering, because Nick posed Barrett posed the question, was Kevin moving too fast for Gia to notice? And to give podcast listeners like a good example, Kevin was moving at the speed of somebody who doesn't want to run but is worried they may be late for their flight.
Yeah.
He was moving at that kind of speed walky.
Yeah.
No, it's not that bad. That's way faster than that.
Kevin's moving. Let's be perfectly honest. Let's just call it what it is. Kevin moves at the speed of someone who just realized they're about to shit their pants.
Yeah.
It's the clinch and walk really, really fast. You see what I'm saying? Then walk as fast as humanly possible, straight line, no matter what. And we've all been there. And to Kevin's point, like he's been looking forward to this movie for a really, really long time. I probably would have moved at the same speed as well because I hate being late to movies. I hate that. I like to get in there and sit there. That's why we were all hoping there would be the buffer of the trailers, but you can't, you know. This is why I get there early. It's the Nick time. Get everywhere an hour early.
Nick, I'm expecting
horseback riding in Portugal.
If somebody has their legs.
Look what happened.
If somebody has the recliner all the way up and somebody has their legs on the front thing, I would have expected Kevin to try to jump over those legs. That's how fast he was moving.
Yeah. A little hurdle. Yeah.
You know?
I think, Andy, that is probably the most accurate way to put the entire situation where it's like, look, multiple people are at fault here. However, you shouldn't jump over people's legs. And that also should not be your first instinct. And I can look around this group of people right now, and I feel like all of our first instinct, you know what? None of our instincts at any point would be, I'm going to jump over these legs. You know?
Of course not, because if I did that, I'd be afraid I'd trip. I clip my legs. I come down. I break both their knees. They bend the wrong way. I did that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tim, it's almost like
not again.
Driving not in a again. Slow neighborhood.
Never again.
you know that you're driving too fast if something gets, if a child runs in front of your car and there's a dramatic, like you're going way too fast. If that is the result, if it's just like a gentle break, you know that you were kind of probably going the appropriate speed.
One time in my neighborhood growing up, I was driving out of it with Poe. We were in the old Ford Taurus, you know what I mean? The big red machine, windows down, partying in Chicago. The
big red machine.
Yeah, that's what we called it. And every time you filled it with gas, you had to put in a new thing of oil because it ate oil. But that's a story for another time. We're going, and somebody had like, their windows
after a while, it's more expensive than just fixing the oil leak. I just want you to know.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're not supposed to put oil in the gas cap.
Here's the thing. All right. One. You know what, Nick? Well, for everybody here, but especially you and me, Nick, all right?
Sure.
You could take all four of us, combine our knowledge. I assure you, we don't know even the smallest amount. My dad's fingernail has more car knowledge than all of us put together, right? Number one crane operator, Greg Miller. And he was out of ideas on why this thing was eating oil. It went into a Packy Web Ford. People looked at this thing. Nobody could figure out where the oil was going, but it was eating oil and it wasn't draining anywhere. So we just kept feeding the big red machine. All right. It kept going. It was fine. In the winter, you had to turn on you started the car and then you had to turn on the heat, the radio, and the defrosters in a very specific order. You'd trip the thing and it would short out. Anyways, we were going out of the neighborhood and we weren't going fast, I feel, but we're kids. I'm probably 16 or whatever. And somebody who had their window open screamed out the window at us to slow down. And I just remember because I don't know. I don't think we were going that fast. And the big red machine didn't no muffler. So I don't know the reaction time of this mother to see the car and be like, rah! Like have like something ready to go to scream out the window at us. I was very impressed. I did not slow down.
When I grew up in Riverside, we lived in a neighborhood that had really steep hills, and people would rip down our street. I was very irresponsible when I was younger driving. That's why I'm such a responsible driver now. But I remember that was one of the moments where I realized I was becoming an adult. When I was visiting after having worked at IGM for a while, I was walking with my mom up the street, and someone ripped down, and I had that reaction where I was like, "That guy's got to slow down. He's going way too fast." Yeah. And the realization that I'm like, "Oh no." I'm an old man now.
You just value life now. You think about it different. It's different when you're not in the car.
Yeah.
In the big red machine, me and Poe were invulnerable. Nothing was going to stop us. Yeah. We almost tipped that thing over so many times. But I've been on the street now with Jen and Ben and some, 16-year-old Yahoo, rolled through the stop sign. And he gets a piece of my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not happy. Now, peace of mind is sometimes just are you fucking kidding me? You Yahoo with your long hair? Go back to high school.
I rolled through a stop sign for the first time in my life, knowingly. There might have been some time that I didn't know about, but I got straight up caught in 4K by Gia, who was like, "Dude, Tim," because I was rolling through it. I was going slow and I was going through, and the car was like going through me, and I started talking shit just to G about it. I was just like, "This fucking guy, whatever." She's like, "Tim, you totally just missed that. There was a stop sign." And I was like, "No, there was not. I've driven here my entire life. There's no fucking stop sign." They added stop signs.
Stop sign in.
All around my neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, that's first off, interesting. Second off, very good. All these things needed stop signs for sure.
This is the whole thing where that whole stretch of road has no stop signs.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of,
I think of the
two ways
coming away from the ocean, driving down the street, right? Yeah. There's all the stops here, but there's very no stops. Scary. So you try to cross, it's pandemonium. I always get scared.
I'm always
it's scary whenever I try to turn left. I'm like, oh god.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit, but now there's stop signs everywhere, which is great. Something I've wanted for a long time. But I'm so upset about it because it's the construction, it blocked the stop sign. So because it's not just I just assumed there's no stop sign. Very much aware of looking at stuff. I was shocked. I had to turn around. I was like, "Gee, I believe you. I just need to see this thing with my own eyes. I need to know." And it was hidden behind a whole bunch of things. It's like the construction stuff. This is fucked up and dangerous.
They're not supposed to do that, by the way. If they're doing construction, it blocks the sign. They're supposed to move the sign.
Suggestion. Little car wreck. Maybe you and Gia break a couple of bones.
Mm-hmm.
Lawsuit to the city. I'll jump on your legs. And guess what? We have a new studio. Another studio.
Exactly. I love it.
And
I
love it. Location.
I'm in.
And when they go, "Hey, what caused the car accident?" You say, "This giant bag. It was in the middle of the road."
my fiance's giant camel or camo?
Camel. Color. Camel. It's like a dark tan camel. I would say, it's probably not camel. It's more of a dark tan.
I want to say this real quick. If everybody could tweet at Gia Tap Harris and say congrats. That'd be really cool because she did just Slack me and she said, "Holy shit, I got the promotion." Aww. And I responded, "Fuck yes, can you send me a picture of your backpack?
Yeah.
Yes, she's please. Well aware. We've talked about it. I've given her a lot of right there. She's good. She's good. Knows. I can't wait for the response to this. But yeah, send her some congrats. <That's> awesome. I'm hoping to get you guys pictures of this damn bag.
Oh, we're going to get it. I'll tell you one thing right now. I know we're done talking about stop signs, but I want to tell you this, Andy. If you don't know this about me, sometimes things stick under my skin, right? They get in my craw, as Greg would say.
Yeah.
And the one thing that pisses me off more than anything in the fucking city of San Francisco is people's stupidity when it comes to a four-way stop. They just don't
break down.
Understand how it fucking works.
And everybody waves at each other, and then everybody hits the gas.
It's
horrible. I look at everybody, and I go, rock, paper, scissors?
It's one of the fundamentals they teach you too, Nick.
It's very important. Yeah. Very important. Yeah. Yeah. And I always think I do it right. And Danielle never corrects me because she loves me. So
why do you think you do it right? What do you actually?
Because I make a mental note of who got to the stop signs first, right? And then I go,
which you should do.
It's this way, right? Clockwise, right?
Yeah, if
Nick points at everybody, he goes, you, one, you, it,
let's
three.
Say four cars approach and all four sides. Actually, that's
interesting. Wow.
Now
I just broke my brain. Oh, okay. Let's say if you approach a four-way stop and someone to the right of you also approaches, that person goes first.
He goes first, to the right, clockwise order.
If all four sides are approached at the same time, that's where it gets difficult.
That's where it's tough. But there's always one Yahoo in San Francisco not paying attention, and they do the California rolling stop that we're famous for.
Oh, yeah.
Hits it and then keeps going, and that's when they get my ire. That's when they get the beep, beep, a little bit of the bird.
Well, like, they get a piece of my mind because they do that all the time over here. There's a street but more of an avenue that we walk Lulu down, and it's a block away from a major street where people are kind of like driving more like 30 miles per hour, and they come to this avenue driving like they just came off of that road, and they do that rolling through the stop sign while I'm trying to like walk my dog, who is a tiny little anxious precious angel, right? And that's when I start yelling too, because it's like, you got to be careful, not just because of dogs, but there's also a neighborhood, there's kids here and stuff. It drives me insane, man.
Yeah, so this is what I'm looking up right now. And this is how I always go off of it, because I make a mental note. I was like, who arrived? It's always the first person who arrived gets the right away. So if you stop first and the person stops next, you get to go if you're both at a four-way stop. But people just don't understand.
Just real quick, just to add to that, like, that's what pisses me off. Like, I'm all about the California rolling stop. Should I get it? It is what it is.
Right.
Like, control it. It's fine. It's the do not do that in this situation. You're not first to go unless you fully fucking stopped, motherfucker. Yes. We're watching.
You know how many times my wife has heard me scream, I was stopped. I was the one that was stopped.
I was the only fucking one stopped. I'm if angry. You rolled, nah, you didn't stop.
That's not a stop. Stop. My buddy. You see about talking about dumb shit that you do in high school. My buddy Stu, haven't talked to him in a while. He used to have a Jetta. He had like a 92 or a 91 Jetta. That was a cool car. He loved it
Jetta's
so much.
So cool. Jetta's cool.
And it the starter blew on it, but it was a stick. And I don't know if you remember this or not, Greg, but you can actually just jump start a car if you let it roll and then pop the clutch.
What was the nickname for that? Because Greg had the big red machine.
Oh, we called it the Jetta. We called it Stu's Jetta. Yeah, he's had quite a few of them over the years, but that was the first. And I'll never forget. He never forgave me because it was his sister's first, and she used to keep it real dirty. And so one day I went around and I put wash me all over it, and I scraped just with my finger. And that apparently fucks up the clear coat, and it stayed forever. And Stu never forgave me for that because he inherited the car.
Fair enough.
I digress. He used to live on a hill, and he was like, I'm going to take the car into my mechanic that's down the hill. So he would pop the clutch, but he couldn't stop at stop signs because if he did, the car would, for whatever reason, would just turn off. And so he kept rolling through, and by the third one, there was just a cop there. And the cop was like, what the fuck? And he's like, I can't even explain it to you. Just give me the ticket. It's like the dumbest fucking thing I've ever done in my life.
When you all are crossing the street, do you always to cross a four-way street and there's a car waiting for me, I usually start walking behind them.
Always go behind.
To be like,
always go the opposite of the direction you think the car is going to go into, right?
You know? No. Like, all right, I'm walking forward. There's a car right here. Waiting for me to cross the crosswalk because it's a four-way.
So you leave the crosswalk to go behind the car.
I'll kind of start walking behind it as if to be like, go ahead, brother. Like, you don't need to wait for me. Because I just like, I feel like you're going to get through here faster than I'm going to get through there. And I don't want to be the origin, the source, the alpha and the omega of what could be you waiting here in this street for the next 6 minutes? Because what if I like I start crossing and the car's like, all right, this guy's about to move, and then there's like two people behind me, and that creates a train of people, and this guy's suddenly stuck there. I don't want to be the cause of that man's frustration. What if he sees me later on in a couple of years and holds a grudge?
Now, that's really good of you, Andy, but let me see how you do it. Can you give me the gesture again?
Well, like, I'll start walking, and then I'll kind of start. I do this. Like, I'm walking straight, straight, right? Cars right here. And I start walking, and then I'll do one of these turns to show that, like, no, I'm good to go behind you.
But you wave him on ahead. You say what you wave him on?
Yeah, okay. I do the turn. I go like that. It's like a walk turn, you know?
Because here's the thing that pisses me off most when I'm in a vehicle that someone does. You come to a stop sign, okay? And there's like a pedestrian or another car that clearly it's your right of way to go, right? Now, I know the pedestrians always
have know where you're going.
Right?
I hate it.
I'm always have the right of way, but this fucking happens to me all the time. I will be stopped. Brakes, the thing, you know, my car goes forward and lurches back, right? Which is how you know you fully stopped. I count one Mississippi to Mississippi, and I look over, and a guy that's still fucking driving to the stop sign across from me goes, go ahead. I'm going to give it to you. I'll let you have it. And I shoot that guy daggers. I'm like, fuck you, dude. It's not your right of way.
The system works when you work the system.
Exactly.
The amount of people who pull up and start waving and doing all this shit. No, just follow the rules. This is just like why Monopoly is hated by so many people. You don't play the game right. If we all played by the rules of Monopoly, it would be great. When you all put the money in free parking in the center, and then you know, the game goes on. You broke the economy. That's why. It's the same thing. Your people waving, people getting the people who are. You're in the crosswalk. Go. Don't stop in the middle of the crosswalk and wave me. Don't even engage in the crosswalk. Should just go. Don't worry about it. You have the rule. And then the people who are like, now I'm not on a crosswalk. I'm just gonna make it up. I'm going to walk to the center of median thing. I'm jaywalking. Of course I've jaywalked, ladies and gentlemen. Am I a saint? Of course not. Are you kidding me? I've jaywalked, but you know what I want to do when I jaywalk? I'm the one violating the rules of engagement. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is walk and you keep driving. Because if I'm doing this, I've seen that behind you is just dead air. Yeah. So you roll through at the speed you're rolling through. I've timed my walk perfectly. You're going to pass and I'm going to go straight behind you and everything's going to be fine.
No.
Simple math.
You stop and then you start waving me. Now you're a sitting duck. Anybody can run over and steal your tires or hit you in the back. Some phantom car.
Yeah, I hope you have nothing in the back of your car. I hope you don't have pets or valuables. Those are gone.
What's worse, the douchebag driver that gives you the wave when it's clearly your right of way, or the pedestrian who thinks they're being nice by going like, go ahead, and then ends up holding up the entire four-way
the
stop
pedestrian,
sign.
The pedestrian.
The pedestrian's worse.
We understand you're walking. Great. Just go.
You have right of way. Just go. Everyone expects you to walk.
Get and go. Yeah,
just go.
Just do it.
But you're doing the opposite of what you're supposed to do. You're freaking everyone out because you're not doing the thing that you're supposed to. We all learned 74 years ago when I graduated driving school.
I am that pedestrian, but that's also because I like to train Lulu to like always sit at a corner. And sometimes she's not always like instinctually sitting at the corner. So that's when I have to be like, all right, you guys go.
It's different if you're training a dog. If you're training someone, you got a kid, all the rules out the window. Because kids are the wild card, man.
Yeah.
Kids, you're like, I don't know if this kid's going to bolt or whatever. If I see a family, if I see strollers coming, I'm waiting there until they're on the curb and all the way in the Starbucks.
That's the big thing. You know, when we walk in, we get our cup of coffee in the morning, right? We're walking through the streets. And when we get to that crosswalk and you're coming and you go through, like you see me turn and I stand at the curb, obviously with the stroller, with little Benny, and I see you roll through. First off, I've put a pox on your house. Secondly, you come and you stop, I still go and I'm still giving you the rock eyebrow.
You gotta look at the look.
Cause I'm like, you're gonna move? Somebody gonna hit you? Is the person paying attention? Then you gotta look over this way, you get the other one too. What are you doing? Are you gonna stop? You gonna try to be here? I got a baby here, moron.
I like to give people the point to be like this. Wow. Like they'll lock eyes and I'll go, I'll give them a little point. Like, I got you. No one's getting through me. I'm the fucking front line. They got to go through me if they want to get through you. I'll stop. People get pissed behind me. I feel it. I don't give a fuck. You know why? More important for that kid who's going to grow up and probably support my channel like me than the guy I can't even see.
Wow.
100%.
100%. Yeah. Always
had
business
a chance
forward.
To support you. Didn't support you.
Exactly.
We know the guy who's, you know, being an asshole waving or doing whatever in this scenario. We know that person doesn't watch Kinda Funny, but the kid might one day.
Can I tell you something I do all the time?
Yes, this is our final no thing before we finish the
show. We're going to wrap it up. I'm the guy, and I got to stop doing this. I got to fuck Andy. If I do it again, you got to chastise me for it. I keep honking at people when they can turn right, and then they go when it turns green. I'm like, what is this guy's fucking problem?
Honk. And then you see the no turn on right sign. Wow, that is upsetting. That is upsetting. I
gotta change it. I gotta change this
because I'm the guy in front of you that's just yelling at poor Gia, like, what the fuck's this guy's problem? I'm not going. I'm not gonna go.
Dude, I want you to know it's like rare that I get. I don't carry a grudge. You know what I mean? We're all in motor cars out there. We know we could die at any second. I mean, a big wheel tire could fly off and kill us. As we saw in Final Destination, a tree could fall off a thing and kill us. Like, I understand we're driving to the farmer's market. I'm thinking up great funny things to send to Andy. You know what I mean? But it's that thing where I'm talking to Jen. I got a little Benny in the back there. I am making the left-hand turn in, right? But it's one of those dual lefts where it's like, you know.
Freak people out.
I am on the closest left to the median to cross. I'll be, I'm crossing.
And you're still using the rule?
Well, no, I don't. Nobody's shouting, go left there. But right there for the story, yes, I did do the rule to make sure I understood which one I was doing. This is a Gamescast reference where I revealed some things about me in the post show. Anyways, I make the turn and like I'm turning left and then the other left is turning too. This woman going to the farmer's market tries to pull in front of me and then starts honking at me. And I am now I'm in the car. You're like, what the fuck do you want me to do? Blah, 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 blah. And then she got in front of me and I did the thing, Nick, where I'm like, I'm making note of her hair.
Yeah.
If I see her at the farmer's market, we are going to have words. The problem was she was just your average white older woman.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
A lot of that same look.
Just gray hair. I'm like, damn, this isn't a telling thing. She might be wearing a mask. You know what I mean? But I was so furious of like it is one of those, like, I kept it with me all the way till the next Sunday. Turning in there, and I called it out to Jen. I'm like, look right there. That sign says, of course, you can two lefts. Yes, the one I was in could do the U-turn. You could do a U-turn. It's not mandatory, though. Mm-hmm. And I hope that woman drove up the next Sunday, had the same thing of like, I was wrong. And then I hope she dropped all her strawberries walking out of the farmer's market.
Oh, damn. All of them, the blueberries, worst. Too. Yeah, I made mark of this one lady who, like, I got the crosswalk. I got the good to go. I'm crossing. And just because you have a green light doesn't mean you can turn left right here. You have mm-hmm. to yield to me. Yield I have the right away. Mm-hmm. So I'm walking, but she's got a green thinking, she could just drive left whenever she wants. And I'm walking, and she honks really, like, it was one. You could tell, like, she, like, used all of her force. And I turned back, and I looked at her, and she was, like, doing this face. What are you fucking doing? And I just pointed at the crosswalk. How it was telling me that I could walk, and I was like, the fuck? And then, like, Greg, I hope she dropped her strawberries, too.
Fuck. Everyone's dropping straws.
It's the only way to do it. Just like I hope you're dropping support on patreon.com/kindoffunny. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny podcast each and every week. Four, sometimes five best friends gather on this table, each coming to talk to each other about whatever it is they want to talk about. If you want to talk with us, go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, where you can write it with your own topics, just like Drewtendo64 did, who has a question for Andy in the post show. Of course, you could also watch us record it live, just like Tombly is, and Madeline is, and Cody is. if you're watching live, your special job is to hang out and keep having fun. Remember, special of course, job. If you want to catch that later, I'm still on patreon.com/kindoffunny. You can go get the show on demand. You can get the audio version. You can get the post show. You can have a great time. You can skip all the ads. You can have a good thing going on. But if you don't have any money to toss our way, it's no big deal. YouTube.com/kindoffunny, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe every week for a brand spanking new episode. Remember, use the Epic creator code KINDOFFUNNY when you're buying something on the Epic Game Store, or when you're playing Fortnite, or when you're playing Rumbleverse. And of course, remember, literally, by the time you hear this, people who are coasting and not using Patreon, literally less than 1 month until we launch the spare bedroom, Kind of Funny Studios. October 14th, a marathon stream starting at 10 a.m. twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We will reveal the future of Kind of Funny and what we've been working so hard on. And you will not be able to believe it.
Did we buy a second warehouse with me assuming that Tim was going to get into the car wreck with G and break all their bones and we can sue the city? We may have bought a second warehouse. We need the funds, y'all. So please.
I was going to say, we haven't paid off the first warehouse, so that's trouble right there. Yeah. You know what I mean? These are some bad investments you're making out there. And we still have to buy those skeletons. Don't forget the skeletons.
Exactly. You're right.
Ladies and gentlemen, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.